Nick.
Late Night Gamers Podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
Sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced. Blah. And I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 27. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tim Madden.
Leroy Jenkins.
Steve Morgan.
Aren't you glad I didn't say banana?
And Charles Caldwell.
Don't be a subhuman mongoloid.
Did we have this conversation already about subhuman mongoloids? Didn't we say that that's what lived in Bristol?
Yeah, I think there was a conversation about mongoloids. And then I saw that article that Ted Nugent called Obama a subhuman mongoloid, so I sent you guys. And then I said I was going to start calling people that instead of noobs when I play video games.
Subhuman mongoloid.
You stupid subhuman mongoloid, you.
Although, I feel like when I play games that are really difficult and require a lot of, like, skill, like something like Dota, you know, like, we're just, like, not everybody can play it. Like, little kids obviously have, like, a lot of difficulty with these kind of games. I always, like, get this impression that when someone's really bad, I'm just like, dude, this person has, like, subhuman intelligence. Like, they can't even, like, move. Like, just move. Are you, like, reading? I'm so confused. Like, you're dying, so just, like, click somewhere else, like. So I always say that. It's probably pretty mean.
That's fine. Can you imagine playing like Call of Duty or some other like multiplayer game where you're just like, how dare you, you subhuman mongoloid?
I explode like that and I say really terrible things and then I think about like my brother or some like kid playing and he's just like, dude, I hate my life. I feel so bad. I'm like, I probably shouldn't just like tell everyone they're like completely retarded and they need to uninstall this game.
You need to have like a lobotomy to fix that part of your brain so you can play this game correctly.
Then he's just going to be Jack Nicholson from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Just be really good at playing video games, but drool all over yourself.
Like, do you need assistance to go to the bathroom? Because you clearly can't play this game.
Yes, the nurse is helping me right now.
Wipe, huh? Wipe, huh? Anyway. A little bit of news from the past week. We actually have quite a bit of, like, politically odd news for the week.
Get that shit out of here.
Taking this one serious.
Yeah. The first one on our list is the European Commission wants to crack down on free-to-play games and how those developers or how those publishers advertise the games to consumers. And they don't. Basically, what they want to do is make it so then consumers aren't led to believe that a game is completely free and that, you know, there's no money or microtransaction component to it.
Yeah,
I think it was also very much focused on children and just going,
yeah,
children playing it and clicking. Oh, click, 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 and then their parents getting the bill, and it's like $100 on different colors for a game. It's like,
yeah,
you got the super duper color pack.
The specifics were that if it has any sort of in-app, like in-game purchases, then it couldn't be classified as free to play.
It's kind of like going to the zoo. Yeah, it's like kind of like going to the zoo and saying I want to see the animals, and they're like, okay, $1 to see each animal. It's like, it's not free. When you walk in the door, it might be free, but
it's like I will pay you $10 if I can paint that zebra red.
I wonder if they'll have any criteria in there where if you can play the game to get the things that you would otherwise have to pay for,
yeah,
if that still qualifies as free-to-play, because, I mean, a lot of the games that, like, free-to-play applies to most, I feel applies to most of those games. It's just, in order to get additional content, you have to pay.
Yeah.
So, you could still get it if you just grinded like a maniac.
Right.
I think, I mean, yeah, this isn't going to change anything. It just means that the games are going to continue to be as shitty as they are. They just won't be called free to play.
It's just like in Europe.
It's not like it's going to it's not going to improve anything. It's just going to change what they call the game and they sell it to you.
Yeah, you know, those Europeans are weird about definitions. You can't call champagne American sparkling wine champagne in Europe, but you can call it champagne everywhere else. So they're just stupid.
Well, I mean, it is kind of frustrating, though, like when I'm like looking on the App Store and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, let's check out the games that are out. It's like, oh, these top three, and I look at it, and I'm like, this game looks really cool, and then I like read the description, and I'm like, wait a second. Do I have to grind this game out every single day, or can I just play it right now while I'm sitting on the bus? It's like, nope. And I look at the top comments, like, it's okay, you don't have to pay a lot of money. I didn't pay anything, and it took me 1 year, and I was doing pretty good. Like, God,
took me 1 year.
Yeah. Some guy was like, it's like the Middle Earth game. There's a Hobbit, like, you know, Farmville or something. Some guy was like, yeah, I played it for 8 months and I didn't have to pay anything and I was in the top 200 on my server. I mean, if you want to be the top 200, then you gotta pay, but I got there, I'm like, that sounds miserable. That sounds like so much effort. No,
I guess thanks. You just really like playing those games.
It's fine, as long as I know the difference and I don't have to, like, read the game or play the game to find out. I mean, that would be nice. I think that's a good
idea. But is there any game that's really like that, where it's just totally free to play? No. They have to make money somewhere.
Well, there are some that just have, like, advertisements in game.
Yeah, exactly.
That don't have that microtransaction component to them. There aren't a ton of them, but...
Like, what games are those?
Well, I mean, like, a lot of it's just iPhone games that are just, like,
oh, okay.
You know, like, Words with Friends sort of things. Yeah. Like, you can download the free version, and it just has, like, in between each round or whatever, you have an advertisement.
Spiritual successors to addictinggames.com.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I don't, I mean, what would they change the name to? Granted, like, it is free to play.
Microtransactions, like, based or something, probably.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, no microtransaction game. I can't think of one where you buy the game and then you have microtransactions in it.
So free to stay, pay to win.
Transaction based freedom playing entertainment.
They come up with some catchy acronym like
FERP or
PIMS. Or PIMS. I don't know what that stands for, but it stands for what kind of game they are.
Fripple.
I'm just going to start calling them PIMS.
It's going to be Fripple.
It's going to be called Diddle.
Free-to-play transaction-based FIT-to-burb.
FIT-to-burb.
It's going to be called ERG. No clarification needed.
Nope. None. So anyways, we'll keep looking into that and see if anything comes of it. It'll probably take years for them to actually come to it, and by that time, free-to-play games won't even exist anymore.
It'll be like the tech bubble, and they'll just go...
Or all games will be free-to-play, and there won't even be a need to classify free games.
Yeah. Right. You paid for that game? How quaint.
How old school. The second
bit
of news... Nostalgic.
I really liked it.
The second bit of news that we have is... another kind of political move in the United States. There's a tax reform bill going out, and apparently it would revoke a tax credit for research and development for makers of violent video games, which it's specific to video games. Like, if you read the article, it says, you know, violent video games are the only things that it cracks down on completely. Everything else, any other form of entertainment, books, movies, comics, any other form of entertainment can have violence, but they can still receive that tax credit. But violent video games wouldn't be able to use that tax credit at the end of the year.
I don't know what it is, but politicians have had a hard-on for violent video games for years now. If there's any way they can, like, exact revenge on them, they're going to try to do it.
It's true. It's like,
do it for the children.
Yeah, those crazy politicians that think, yeah, violent video games are making our children awful, and, you know, if that's true, 10 million of our population are murderers, but...
yeah. Maybe they should be murderers if they're shows on, like, Kim the Kardashians.
Another part of this bill is that it actually lowers the corporate tax rate to 25%. It's like there's a much bigger role to this bill, but this is just like something like stuck in there to try to, just
hope that no one notices.
Right. I mean, I don't. It's akin to like a sin tax. Like the notion is that, you know, violence is bad, so you should have to pay more to experience it, or for whatever reason, like. Because, I mean, it's not going to... All it's going to do is transfer the cost to consumers in the
exactly,
end.
Exactly. And I will gladly pay more for violence if that's the case.
Yeah. It's probably, like, video game lobbyists trying to justify, like, an increase in game prices, so...
Terrible.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they went from $60 to $70?
Like, it's a tax thing.
Everyone's like, hey, you've got no choice, it's Congress.
Yeah, right.
Goddamn.
Games have been $60 for a long time.
Have they?
Yeah.
Well,
I feel old. A
couple of years.
They've been $60 at least since the beginning of last generation.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count for any inflation of any sort.
Well, they were like, if you go back in time to like the original NES, they were around that price back then.
Right.
And like they kind of dipped down. But I mean, if you think of like inflation, that means that they were like $100 back then. that's like crazy to think about.
Can you imagine?
How bad they were too, and like how like the fact you couldn't even like save and shit, so if you like didn't play it for a while, you had to like...
Yeah.
Like, some of them were bad. Like, some NES games were just straight up bad. Like, and the reason we know this is because there's some NES games that were good. So, like, we have a good reference to, like, it's not like, oh, they were bad because they were, like, on Atari and one was Pong or whatever. It's like, no, this game was just flat out not thought about. Like, it was completely, like, the storyline was complete bonkers. The game mechanics were broken. You couldn't even, like, do certain things. Like, you'd fall through certain areas of the game and stuff and just die for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you pay like $60.
There'd be no way to get past a certain point. Like, physically no way in the game for you to move forward in the game. So it's just like, oh, you beat the game because you got to the last point in the game you can get to. Like, there's no other way.
It's crazy, man. That's just nuts to think about that. Mm-hmm. Like, even bad games now, at least, like, they're cool or they're different and you can play some aspects of it.
Yeah. At least you can beat the game, usually. If that kind of stuff happened now, it would be like immediate refund. Steam would pull the game and there would be an uproar.
No, seriously. I was just thinking, as you were saying that, the one of the first like PlayStation 4, PlayStation Plus games that was offered was Contrast. And I got to the very end of the game, and you're supposed to focus... you're supposed to focus light on this like certain area. It's based on shadows and whatnot, but you're supposed to focus light on this certain area. And I was like, what in the world am I doing wrong? So I went online and I looked it up and I watched people do it. And every time I tried to focus it on the area that was supposed to be focused on, it would like push my camera angle away. So it would be like,
you posted a video of that.
Yeah. I was like, damn it. So I never finished that game.
That's shocking. Wow.
So, oh well. So it still happens, but far less. Who put the third thing on the list?
That was me. So it looks like, so there's a new Windows Phone 8.1 coming out, and apparently they're adding like their own version of Siri, so kind of like a voice assistant, and they've named after Cortana from Halo, which is pretty cool.
Is it the voice of Cortana?
I've seen videos online. I don't think they've actually released a real video, but there was no voice in the video. So it's... I don't think it's her voice. It'd be cool if it was, but... I don't know.
It'd be cool if they had some terrible, like, man's voice, like...
Yeah.
From some terrible game.
Ron Perlman.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
It just seemed interesting. Like, you know, kind of an example of a crossover from game into real life.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very cool.
I don't even know Cortana is like what from Halo.
There's the AI in Halo. Oh, okay.
Like she talked to you during the game throughout the
game. Yeah, she's in your suit. And then eventually she, like, I think, did she die or was she?
Well, you have a lady in your suit?
Yeah, that sounds kinky.
That's.
Yeah, and they progressively made her more and more, like, attractive. So at the beginning, she's just this, like, ambiguously shaped. You know, she's a woman, but she's ambiguously shaped. And towards the end, it's just like she's wearing a skin tight suit.
Apparently. Yeah, by Halo 4, she has visible nipples.
It's just like, really? Is this necessary?
Nice.
I don't know
how to put this. Bastards.
Yeah, this is another one I just saw today. Jack Tretton, I guess that's his name. He's the CEO of Sony.
Sony America, and, right?
I
think so.
Sony America. I don't know. But yeah, Sony America, yeah. But yeah, apparently he's stepping down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, effective April 1st.
He's been there for 19 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Did he say why?
I didn't see a reason. I looked it up on.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It doesn't give any reason. I don't think they would give a reason. Like, you know, they want to save face. They're gonna say, oh, he was an asshole. But, I mean, the fact that he was there for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, I think that gives some credence to like what he's done. It's probably just him either retiring or, you know, they have some other plans that they want to go forward with.
Well, and honestly, like, you know, with he had a lot to do with bringing like the PlayStation. I mean, he was a big face to the PlayStation 4 when it was coming out. So I feel like launching the PlayStation 4 now that it's had a successful launch, now like new blood can come in and kind of switch over a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I think, you know, I think if you look at Sony, they've been very successful with the PS4. So I think any speculation that it's like anything to do with that is probably wrong. It's probably just him looking for something else, or, you know, there's no point in speculating. But I don't think you can say that it's because Sony's done something bad, or, you know, the company is in a bad spot, because it's definitely not.
No, I mean, they just came out this week. PlayStation 4 has hit over 6 million sales worldwide.
That's crazy.
That was their goal for fiscal year 2014.
Well,
too old. Yeah. Damn.
2 months in.
Looks like we made it.
Is that a song, or did you just make that?
It's a song.
Okay.
It's what? It is a song?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Did we have this discussion earlier about things Charles says are real that really aren't? I think this happened already.
I think Charles has like some sort of time machine. He's like, yeah, that's a real thing, but it's actually him just coming back from the future and being like, yeah, I said that before.
Yeah, right.
It's like when you have a dream and you think it's like you had it, you're like you're referring to something in the dream, and then you wake up and you're like, no, that actually never really happened.
I had deja vu today. It felt like I dreamed a meeting today. It's ridiculous. At one point, I was just like, I've been here before.
Charles' whole life is a deja vu.
Did you predict what happened next?
No.
Damn it, Charles.
Did you close your eyes and try to like do a butterfly effect moment where you like travel them into the future?
I predicted that I would pull out my balls and slam them on the table. That never happened.
I feel like that would... I don't believe you, because I feel like that would probably happen more likely in real life than in your dream.
Ashton Kutcher would be there.
Charles would get a bloody nose, though. He just never realized he traveled into the future when he did it.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be worse than usual. I'd be spraying out of blood muscles and eyes.
Nice.
Yeah, every orifice, every facial orifice is just bleeding.
All my pores are bleeding, my ears are bleeding, my eyes are bleeding, my mouth is bleeding, my nose is bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
How did we get here?
There are certain conversations where I have with people and I'm, and like, tracing back how you got to some place. It's like, we started about Jack Tretton stepping down, now we're talking about Charles bleeding from the face.
Turns into a Charles, logical. Like, has Ebola or something? I don't
know. Seems logical.
So anyways, speaking of bleeding, from the face, Steve, why don't you take this week's segment?
Sure. So, bleeding from the face. All right. All right. Yeah. So, I guess this is just something that I was thinking about, and it's something that kind of just shocks me. And basically, this week's segment, I just wanted to talk about cartoons and gaming, and I guess that's really broad, and what I mean more so is anime and like Disney and all those different like genres of, they're basically like, there's a very large pool of gaming titles and like genres that could be like taken from these like what I would say cartoon gaming, and like obviously when games are 2D they were very easy to like transfer in like a cartoon way. So when you had like, you know, NES and Super Nintendo, we had a lot of like, you know, DuckTales, and we had all these games that we saw as cartoons. And I obviously realized that like when games turn to 3D, it's hard to translate like something that you see two-dimensionally in a TV show or a cartoon or an anime or comic or something into a 3D version. But right. Now that we have like cell shading and stuff, you would expect these to sort of start coming back in. And there are games, and we can go through the list of ones that we put down here, of games that use cell shading, but I guess my question to you guys is, do you think that cell shading is going to make cartoons come back into gaming, or is it more just like cartoons were a little bit bigger in our generation and they're not anymore, or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, like, you talked about the NES and SNES days, and I remember back in, like, Sega Genesis, and I think almost every game I had on Sega Genesis was like a Disney game, and it was like, you know, Aladdin and
Lion King.
That was back when movie games were actually good.
Exactly. So, and I think back on those games, I'm like, wow, those were awesome. Those were awesome, like Disney cartoon games. And now I think of the games that are the movies that Disney's releasing now, and it's I don't know, they're just not to par. Sure. So I think that could have a significant effect on games.
So how does cell shading be able to bring in what cartoon into a 3D game? I guess I just don't see how.
Yeah.
Well, because I feel like I think what Steve might be trying to say is that, you know, we grew up on 2D and we moved into a 3D generation.
Yeah.
But now kids are in like a 3D only generation, and you know, 2D might be sort of foreign to them. So cell shading might be kind of bridging that gap between.
I think there's enough strange cartoons that are out there right now that kind of shows 2D. I don't know if it's so much true that kids nowadays don't watch cartoons. I just think they're totally different than the cartoons we watch, where they're much more designed for, I don't want to call it insanity, but pretty much. I mean, sure, the cartoons that we watched were completely, utterly insane, but at least some of them, but
I feel like cartoons now are made for dumb kids. I don't mean to be terrible, but all the cartoons now are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I
guess we're just not. I mean, I don't know what. I really know what the cartoons are, because honestly, I haven't watched them. So, I mean, I still sometimes will go back and watch like Mighty Max.
That show was terrifying.
Or let's see, or like Hey Arnold, but I don't know.
I was thinking about this. I think if you really boil it down, it's more of like a. It's less like a cartoon thing, more like an art style thing, because I think that like a lot of games, like if you go back to our generation, the games that we played on NES and Sega Genesis and stuff like that, their 3D didn't exist. You know, we were stuck in a 2D I guess you wouldn't call it a cartoon, but it was like a representation of reality, and it was just a, you know, an 8-bit or 16-bit little dude that was supposed to represent something. So there wasn't really this idea of like realism in the game. It was kind of a sprite, something to represent reality.
And the closest we could get for 3D and any sort of entertainment, and which wasn't real life, was claymation by the Disney, not the Disney, the holiday, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and that stuff. And also Celebrity Deathmatch. But those weren't games.
Yeah. And so I think then if you kind of like fast forward to the future, there was like an obsession with realism. And like you saw it with kind of like, I mean, on N64, there were some 3D games. There were a lot of 3D games that came out, but they weren't really realistic. But it was kind of, you could tell that was the direction that games were heading, that people wanted more realism. And as, shooters, got more realistic, there was, the gun would, there'd be like lift when you shot, and you could get shot in the leg and you'd limp. And, as they added realism to games, that was kind of like the drive. It was the focal point of game development, was to make games more realistic, more like real life. And then I think that kind of like peaked around the time of like Crysis and stuff like that. It became like the pinnacle of realism in games. And I think that there was kind of like a counter push as of late. If you look at like a lot of especially a lot of indie games, there's far fewer games that are ultra realistic. Realism in games isn't the focal point that it used to be. And I think you also see a lot of games kind of using art style as like a tool to really show something different, to be able to do something different that's not realistic. Like, it's like, I mean, I think World of Warcraft is a good example. It's a game that doesn't try to be anything it's not. And even when it came out, the graphics were pretty bad back in 2004, 2005 when it first came out.
I remember shitting on the game when it first came out.
Yeah, I remember looking at previews like, this game looks bad. But then I played it and I was like, this game's awesome. And I think it kind of showed that graphics, you can create like a different art style and the game will still be good, and it can still be like visually good to look at. So there's it's kind of like a trade-off, but I think the idea of like cartoons and games is kind of like it's an art style decision. Even now, like, you have games like Loadout, the shooter, that's like it's as close as a cartoon as you're going to get in like a 3D game. Yeah. And there's other games like that where it's
The Walking Dead 3D game,
especially FPS shooters like that. Shooters have been dominated by ultra realistic graphics games. So when you have a game like Team Fortress 2 or something like that, where it's, it kind of turns the genre on its head. But I think that's a good thing. For games to like take that leap and try to do something different, that's good for everyone. I just rambled for a real long time.
Yeah, I think that's the most you've ever talked. No, I'm just kidding.
I think you're absolutely right in the sense that the cel shading now and like the cartoonized gaming design is only because like in a world where everything is realistic or everyone was pushing for realism, I think you're absolutely right that it's like now games are trying to be trying to find a way to just stand out from the rest of them. And I think that's kind of what Borderlands was doing, because there's been open world shooters. There are a couple, there's shooters, there's RPGs, and all, like, most of those in those genres are like realistic and have kind of a serious storyline or undertone to them. And yet Borderlands is like, it's cel shaded, it's completely off the wall, everything's upgradable, guns are ridiculous, like the characters are ridiculous, the whole world is just ridiculous. And
I think just to start that, the cel shading really like made people interested, and then they realized that then they got everything else like as part of the game.
Yeah. I think like, you know, it shifts the focus from like a developer's perspective, you know, such a huge amount of their resources had to be devoted towards, you know, content creation in terms of like creating realistic trees and whatnot. And so to be able to shift, be able to go to like either cel shading or some sort of stylized art, you know, drastically reduces their budget in terms of creating graphics and stuff. And I think that is like in a lot of ways, it's kind of maybe part of like the indie scene where they, you know, they don't have the budget to do that. And if you look at games that like Minecraft, it's probably like it you know, it looks like vomit on the screen, but it's just so much fun, you don't care. Right. And I think a lot of people feel that way now, where it's graphics aren't the number one thing in the game anymore, because, you know, there's so many games. If you want good graphics, you can go find it, but in the end, it's, you know, you care more about gameplay than you do about looks of the game.
Yeah, we had quite a few people write in and express some emotion towards like cel shading and whatnot. And Shonoff71 on Twitter, he reminded me of this game. It was called 13, but it was XII. I don't know if you guys remember that. It originally came out on I think GameCube and PlayStation 2, and it was like a first person shooter, but it was like the first cel shaded first person shooter, I think.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was really like, it was highly stylized, and it was really like really cool, like really cool blood effects, and kind of, I don't know, it was really
it was No More Heroes.
It was a dark game, but
that's right.
He the thing he said he liked about cel shaded games and kind of like that that cartoony style is that it can express emotion in characters that just doesn't come across in traditional art styles, yeah. Which I can agree with.
Yeah, I think that's another big part about it, is that it allows you to create characters that you know, kind of they might accentuate some sort of aspect of whatever. I mean, it could be like a squirrel or something random, but it, you know, by not relying on realism, you can accentuate things and create a whole different world, you know.
Yeah, you can tone down the game like in this realism, like you said. Like, a lot of these games have a lot of blood and like explosions, but they play kind of to like what they are, which is kind of cartoony, and it's a completely different feel to the game.
You shoot somebody in the head and confetti explodes out.
That would be like a Little Big Planet game, or
I remember the paintball mode in GoldenEye, where you could just shoot a million bullets and every one would be like neon yellow or orange, and
and you could spell out things on the wall and be like, "You're gonna die." But then it would all disappear at some point.
007's dick was here.
That's like the inevitable problem with writing things on the walls in any game.
There was a game, I think it was on, I think it had to have been on Nintendo 64. And I've been racking my brain, I looked online and I could not find it. But it was like it took place like in a cartoon, I mean in a comic book. And you would fight, and then I remember like at the end you would like break through the comic book frame.
Comic
and you'd
Zone.
Go to like the Comic Zone, that's what it was! Oh man, I was thinking about
it. Was on Sega Genesis.
It was on Sega Genesis?
Yeah.
Okay, alright. Yeah, I was, because I remember me and my brother played the hell out of that, and I, you know, I was thinking, you know, before the podcast, trying to think of like cartoon games.
Yeah,
and that was you know, that one took the cartoon theme to heart because it was literally in a cart. I mean, in a comic book.
Yeah,
I always thought that was cool.
That's cool.
That game was really awesome because it took small sections of like enemies and kind of like I don't know, just like small areas that you'd be fighting in, and until like you couldn't go on, and it was a cool way of making it, like, instead of just, like, you know, having air, like, exits blocked for some reason, it was like you couldn't leave until you beat these guys and you had to break through the, like, the frames in the comic book. It was cool.
Oh, man, yeah. Dude, this is, I'm getting, like, mega memories now. This game. It really is like a comic, like, literally.
Yeah.
You break through the frames just like the comic.
And you, I remember, I think when you, like, when you punch guys, it would be like, pow, and, like, yeah, it was
flat.
It was cool. That was when he took a shit. That's what happened. Splat.
Splat, kerplunk.
That's, taking a shit in a toilet. Do you remember that board game Kerplunk?
Dude, that game was awesome.
Anyways,
was that the one where you pulled the sticks out?
I think so. With the marbles, or yeah. Didn't it have marbles? I don't know. Everything had marbles, or like some tissue that you put across.
That was like the water one. I don't understand that. I don't know how that one worked at all. There was somehow water and a tissue involved, and you put things on it. It just seemed way too complex.
Pogs.
Did you just say pogs?
Yeah.
Pogs, yeah. My slammer is going to destroy you, and I'm going to take all your pogs.
This is a totally sexual game.
My tower is much larger than yours.
What was the point? You had to slam the slammer, and then if they, like, went out of a certain zone, you got to keep them? I don't remember.
Yeah, if you knocked down, you'd, like, knock down their tower or something. And I remember I had this... I had a slammer that was, like, a half an inch thick, and it was made of cast iron, and it was like it would destroy everything.
She was like a hockey puck.
Then you would be able to keep all of their pogs. Ridiculous. Alright. Sorry, the tangent.
I feel like pogs are always a tangent, though, so there's no way you can talk about pogs in relation to anything else.
Weird games. That's how it
you want to also know what's ridiculous? How remember how cool McDonald's toys were, and you just get those Power Ranger pogs from them? Oh my god, that shit was great. Now, they don't got any of that stuff anymore. Like, who the hell actually goes to McDonald's to get a toy?
Yeah, that's shitty now.
It's fucking terrible. You'd be lucky if you get, like, a Matchbox car there.
So, we had a couple other listeners write in this week, at RoboP1G, RoboPig. I got it this time.
Robob Bungie.
RoboPig. And I had asked some of the listeners what they thought of cel-shaded games and, like, cartoonized games, and he says, personally, I like it. Think that now that we have systems capable of realistic looking graphics, art style will be important, which is, like, basically, you know, exactly what we were talking about earlier.
I agree.
We had at the man who games zero. I really do like cel shading. Gives the art a nice anime style feel. A reason I'm excited for Yaiba as well. Yaiba? I don't know. Steve, you're an anime.
I need to look it up.
You're a resident anime expert.
Yaiba. Sounds like an STD. Or it could be like a really fancy cocktail drink.
Sounds like a noodle type.
Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z.
Yeah, this bitch's name. It looks like Dragon Ball Z or something.
Oh yeah, holy crap.
Fused.
The dragon.
So much blood.
Dragon Ball
Z. So much blood. Like, it's just like Charles's nose when you play Ninja Gaiden. Just blood everywhere. Oh,
this is gonna be sweet.
Yeah, it's like Celsius. It looks sick. It looks legit. It's almost worth me funding, like, just to watch Charles play.
Just get the game so watch Charles play. It looks ridiculous.
Just blood. I want to see if I can find a video of it. Goddamn.
Well, anyways, that looks sick.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have to look into that for sure. The at Kyle Levy also said, "Love me some cell shading." Gotta agree with the Yaiba reference and loved the art in Killer is Dead 2. As in also.
No, it isn't like...
and long-time listener, that at that Chaffee, he wrote in and said, "I really like it for a bit because everything is live and vibrant, but then I'm over it." And he says, "Eventually it feels like a crutch and a distraction from the story." And then he says, "You can't polish a turd."
It's more like turding a polish, but sure. I
think yeah, it's kind of the opposite.
But I think it's a good point, and I think it depends on the game. Some games, I think if it's a good game, you don't notice it. It doesn't distract from what the game's trying to do. But I think sometimes, yeah. Like for example, we had talked before the show about like you know Wind Waker being like cel shaded, and I was in the I'm under the impression that Zelda is a much more serious game, which has much more like grand adventure and is kind of scary in some senses. And to me, I don't think
in
it ever.
The age of grand adventure.
I don't think that. I think that's a game for me. It kind of took back a little bit because it made me feel like the game was cartoony, and I just didn't get into. I didn't buy into it. So I think there's certain games that I. It kind of goes back also to what Tim said. Like if the game's trying to play itself for what it is, then it is what it is. Like you know, Borderlands is a goofy game. It's cel shaded. It like works. And I think. If you try to polish up a game and use cel shading or cartoonize it, basically, it doesn't work out so well. So that's a really good point. I don't think something we didn't really talk about too much.
No, we didn't.
I think I think it also depends on like the stylization because I think you can maybe not cel shaded, but I think you can have like a really stylized game and still have it be serious.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily means that it won't be. It's just I think that's a lot harder to do for sure, but I don't think that they're like mutually exclusive.
Sure.
But yeah, it's definitely there's definitely like when you pick up a game and you start playing it and it's cel shaded, it's gonna immediately you're gonna think less seriously about the game. I think, and I think that that's one of the strengths of cel shading and like Borderlands too, because it. Or Borderlands in general, because, you know, the game was ridiculous, and it was, like, flaunting that ridiculousness in your face with the cel-shaded graphics, and that, I think that's what made it so successful, but, you know, to put cel-shaded in, like, Call of Duty, people would be like, what are you doing? This doesn't work. So I think it really all depends on, like, the flavor and the, you know, the emotions in the game itself.
Outlast, cel shaded version, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And that, I think, unless you guys have something else to talk about, I'll take that as a no.
You can sit for silent, we're ready to move on.
That's,
there's a little French in there.
After talking a little bit about polished turds, we're going to talk about the top five games that would be terrible if they were cel-shaded. Tim, you brought up number one, which was Call of Duty.
Indeed.
This is like no explanation needed. It just is.
It would just be awful. And I think part of it is that, you know, I don't know, some of these games that have a lot of... I don't know, a lot of detail, it's like, it's fast paced, but it's like, I don't know, it would be weird. There'd be something wrong with it, just completely wrong.
Well, I think like Call of Duty, like if we ignore like the multiplayer aspect and you think of like the single player story, not that anyone has ever played it, but like if you think it's like supposed to be,
serious.
It's like you trying to save the world, you know, there's nukes going off and I don't even remember what it was in the last one, but
nonsense.
You know, there's some serious plot, and if all of a sudden you were like dumped into this cartoon world, you'd just be like, I can't take this seriously. Get me out of here. I don't want to play this.
I think, and on the corollary side of this argument, I think I could maybe make an argument that I would expect less out of the game, and they might actually just own up to the fact that it's complete bullshit and just try not to be like.
Because every time they try to be serious, I'm seriously disappointed. So,
yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Number two, we have Skyrim. Skyrim... Well... I mean, I don't know. The thing that sticks out for me with Skyrim was how detailed and how, like, realistic and gorgeous, like, the world was. So, like, to cel shade or, like, just make it cartoony, it'd be like World of Warcraft. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like anything first person never lends well to, like, cartoony unless it's, like, a shooter or something.
Yeah.
Right. Borderlands being, like, an exception because they do it well.
Yeah.
I think it could be if the general plot of the Elder Scrolls wasn't so serious, but it's totally serious the entire way through. There's no component of the game that doesn't take itself, like, super seriously. So, how many, like, Easter egg quests are there in there that don't take themselves seriously? I mean, all of the quests, unless it's a mod, are kind of like, you need to go and do this to save someone. It's like,
yeah, I think, like, the most, like, humorous thing in that is, like, the Skooma addicts. And even that, it's like, these people are addicted to, like, some substance. It's ruined their lives. That's about as fun as you get in this game.
I was happy it was cel-shaded until I took an arrow in the knee.
Number three.
I don't even know what to say about this one.
I put this one down just because
I can't even imagine with this, like, I don't even think my brain can fathom. Can you just explain it, Charles, to us?
Well, I was just, like, picturing Minecraft. If it was cel-shaded, it just made me laugh. Like, it's so blocky. I don't know how it would work. How would you...
I don't know, man. I think it would work well.
Yeah?
Like, I could see it.
Super bold outlines to all the blocks and, like...
the game's already ridiculous. Like, who's playing this? Like, yeah, it's so realistic. It's already ridiculous. Like, this would just take it to, like, a whole nother level of ridiculous.
Oh my god.
So maybe it would be good or terrible. Depending.
So you wouldn't know where any of the edges were. I mean, you'd know, like, the edge, but you wouldn't know, like, the popping out edge, you know? Like, the three-dimensional edge.
That's why I think it would be ridiculous, is because so much of it is based on construction. How would you really be able to... If you're doing something that's complex, it would be terrible.
You'd be putting blocks everywhere.
Well, actually, I think some games that are similar to Minecraft, like, have this sort of cel-shady... Like, was that, like, there was some game that was Lords of Uberdark or something that was coming out that was, like, very similar to like Minecraft, but it had, like, it was, like, voxel instead of, you know, like, grid based, and it was, like, really cel shaded, and it looked really awkward because when you started digging and stuff, you couldn't see that, like, it didn't know, like, like, the edges that you see were really bold, and they were, like, you couldn't tell, like, the depth perception was really difficult, so.
Yeah.
And that was even worse because it wasn't grid based, so it was like, you know, what the hell was the edge to begin with? I don't know where it happened in the game. Lords of Uberdark, look it up. It's great.
The Lords of Uberdark.
Alright, I'll do number four. Okay. This is Resident Evil, our most talked about horror game.
I just don't think it would work in any horror game. Because you, like, what, how, the lighting effects, I don't, it just wouldn't be, the horror wouldn't be there.
It would essentially be Luigi's Mansion.
Scary. Real Mario's scary. Mansion.
Bowser's Castle.
Unless it was, like, a scene from Ren and Stimpy, which was, like, that was, like, probably the most disturbing cartoon ever.
Burns Trust Man.
I think we're onto something here. I think we could make something really messed up with, like, cartoons. Like, you could put, like, some really, like, creepy cartoons in there.
Disturbing, yeah. A combination of All Real Monsters and Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah.
See? Like, just the complete utter insanity.
What were those other disturbing cartoons when we were a kid? Wasn't Rocko's Modern Life a little weird and stuff?
It was a little weird, yeah.
It was weird. It was like...
It's like raunchy.
Yeah.
Well, that was like one of those. That was one of those shows that, like, what I was talking about earlier was like that show was semi-intelligent. Like, you had to really I mean, there were like pratfall-y type normal cartoon stuff, but there was some intelligent conversation going on in there that you wouldn't understand. And I didn't understand then until now.
Yeah.
There's so many like lists. I was trying to look up, you know, like what are the top most scary cartoons, whatever. And there's just like the 8 most disturbing Ren and Stimpy moments. It's like Ren and Stimpy has its own freaking top 10 list of just freaking weird stuff.
That show was great.
It was so crazy. So I remember just being so disturbed when I was a kid. Like some of this stuff, yeah. I was like, dude, what the hell is happening? But
Log. That was the best. So,
Teletubbies was pretty disturbing too, although that wasn't a cartoon.
No.
That was out of our generation, but man.
Thank God.
It turned every little kid's brain to mush.
Yep.
Ooh, I have a television in my belly.
Like it made them terrified of every person that they could encounter because they're afraid of them.
That's all it is. Wasn't even speaking.
They had no social skills from that show because they don't speak any language.
I feel like that's a lot of shows now. It's just like,
yeah,
they don't even have normal conversation. It's just like guttural noises that come out of them.
They're all gonna be like wild children roaming the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Feral children.
Mm-hmm.
To feral hogs.
I wish that was a real thing, just like feral children. Like you come across a pack of feral dogs, but it's actually just like small children. And it's like, ooh, don't go near those feral children.
Then there'd be some weird statistic about how a pack of 5 feral children can eat a human in 5 minutes or less.
Sounds like a great concept for a movie / game.
Feral children bites give you rabies or hepatitis.
Scurvy.
I don't know why, but this made me think of Earthworm Jim. Did you guys ever play that?
Yeah.
That game was...
There's always ridiculous things. One of the ones I can remember the best is there was one thing where you had to like save puppies.
Yes.
He was throwing puppies from a little puppy house, and you had to like bounce them.
You had to bounce them with the drum.
Yeah, if you missed, it would just go and like smush into like little splat on the ground. And then if you dropped too many, the mom dog would like come and like destroy you. that was a good game, and it kind of was like ridiculous. It was a stylized cartoony game, but it also had like a lot of disgusting elements to it.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird green goop and stuff. Yeah, that game was like kind of a Ren and Stimpy style.
Yeah. Just
bring that back, cell shade it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 5.
Alright, number 5. Gears of War.
It'd be awful.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole premise of the game is to just be as gruesome and goreful as possible. I don't think you could do that with cell shading.
Curb stomp a 2D person.
you could do it if it was Blood with Rainbows.
It just won't work, right?
No.
No.
We had before we go into what we're playing, we had 2 listener questions that were not about anything, except at William 0406 said, did it come at the appropriate time this time? And I can tell you that yes, it came at exactly the right time.
And what's that in reference to?
I have no idea.
The thing that happened, I accidentally said, it came earlier than I expected.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Good pickup. That was a good pickup.
Yeah. I'm really disappointed I didn't catch it first.
This man, William 0406, he gets points.
He does.
I'm going to start recording points for all our listeners.
Yep. Late night gamer points.
Collect 10,000 points and you get 1 Smarties roll.
Do they even make Smarties anymore? Is that a real candy anymore?
Oh, yeah. I've been eating, like,
five of them
each day for the past several days. Five rolls, I mean.
And at that, Chaffee said, or asked, can we hear some more stories about being a drunken mess? And I thought that this would be a good time to tell Charles this terrible story about the ravioli.
I think we've already talked about that, haven't we?
Did we?
I thought so.
I don't know.
I think
does anybody have any other?
I've never heard the story about the ravioli.
Really?
Maybe no, it was tortellini. Never mind.
Oh.
Somebody tell this story. I wasn't there.
I was there. This is the story about Charles throwing up tortellini?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so do I have to tell the whole story or just tell you the part where he threw up the tortellini? Because there's so much more. I'll tell the most important parts. So we went to some party, and like it was me and a bunch of other guys and Ryan, who's been on the podcast, and some other people. And I don't know what this was like during the summer, and we like went over to this kid's house, and his girlfriend was there who we were like meeting. I think maybe it was the first or second time we met her, and her a couple of her friends. So there were some girls we didn't
first know. First time I'd met any of them.
Yeah, sure. Typical. Most way that. It's the most way that stories with Charles starts. First time he met. So we show up, and we're like gonna drink, and Charles, and I'm talking to Charles, and Charles like, yeah, man. I don't know who started this, but like, yeah, let's go drink for drink.
I challenged him.
Okay, sure, that's what I thought. So Charles challenges me, like, let's go drink for drink, and I'm like, come on, all right, let's do it. So we have, like, a beer, and I think I even take, like, a shot of, like, you know, Bacardi with him or something. And this is, like, a pretty chill party. There's only, like, 9 or 10 people there, like, total. It's, like, 3 or 4 girls and, like, us 5 or 6 guys. And I, like, go outside, and I'm, like, chatting. I'm playing, like, Beirut with, like you know, Chubbs, you know, just playing a game. And I come back in, and Charles just looks at me, and he goes, yeah, man, I just had 6 shots or something. Or, like, you know, he up to 6. So he just, like, he ripped, like, 3 shots of Bacardi, or 3 or 4 shots. And I just looked at him, and I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah. And I said, all right, you win then, because I'm not going to do that. So there was just that, like, I was just like, that's just dumb. So we're sitting there playing like cards at the table and like talking stuff. And at some point, like the girls are on the other side of this table. This is like this kid's parents were out of town. We're sitting at this big kitchen table. Granted, this kid's also his dad was our middle school principal. So we're sitting in their house and we're just drinking. And these girls are on the other side of the table, all chatting with each other. And then the guys are on the other side of like a prom, like you know, middle school dance or something. We're all sitting on the other side of the table chatting. And then at one point, Charles just like looks and he's. Just pukes right on the table, and he pukes up whole tortellini. Like he didn't even chew them. Like, there was probably like 5.
The girl's
to 10,
like hungry. I was trying to regurgitate.
There was probably like 5 to 10 pieces of tortellini that were like full. And so,
oh god.
I remember just like getting up, like all the guys backed up. We're like, oh shit! Like we all just backed up table and we walk away, and the girls never saw it somehow. And like, I don't even know how this is possible. Charles just goes over, like, gets some paper towels, just wipes it down, and then it's just like that. Apparently, like, a month later, we talked to this kid, and we asked him, like, you know, how everything was going and stuff, and he goes, yeah, dude, like, that side of the table now has, like, no, like, finish on it anymore, and, like, it's like, it's like you, like, removed it.
Oh, God.
So Charles' stomach acid's, like, fucking aliens just, like, ate through this, like, table. So Charles lost that night. Actually, I woke up, like, and there was, like, vomit on my shirt and stuff, so I guess I lost, too, so.
We should have this as a recurring segment, our drunken escapades, because we have a lot.
Have I ever told the story about how I got hammered and called up the internet service provider at UNH?
No.
I'll tell it some other time. All right. Leave that table.
We'll save that for another day.
It's pretty ridiculous. It's about video games, obviously, so.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I still have the message on the response because he left me a voicemail and I have it still on my phone. And I'll play it for the podcast. Yeah,
you need to play that for the podcast. Sure. That'll be excellent.
Next week.
All right. Well, that brings us to the part of our podcast where we just talk about what we've been playing. So, Tim, what have you been playing?
I've been playing like so many things. I played
I've been playing a little WoW. I've just been like farming random. I've been trying to farm like random mounts just because I'm bored out of my mind. And then I picked up, started playing Diablo 3 again because they have a huge XP boost right now. So if you play, I'm leveling up like every 10 minutes. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
And they also got rid of the there was a cap on the number of, I forget what it's called, like the prestige levels. There was a cap on it before, but they lifted the cap, so now there's people with like level 500.
Whoa.
On you know, you can just keep going infinitely now. So I guess there's a benefit to play, to, you know, continuing to play. So I've been playing that and play a little Hearthstone, been trying out Dota 2, trying to figure it out a little bit better so I can actually play competitively and not be horrible. And that's about it.
Nice. Steve, what have you been playing?
I've just been playing Dota, obviously, and I've been trying to kind of finish up the Humble Bundle. I've been, like, just tapping, like, a bunch of these games, and, like, Guacamelee and Dust and stuff. I'm trying to finish all those up, but, yeah, man, that's kept me pretty much occupied lately. And I've heard the Stick of Truth that just came out, the South Park RPG just came out. It's supposed to be really good, so I've been looking into start playing that maybe, so maybe I'll have some comments on it next week.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Supposedly really good. And I've been keeping up on it and watching some of the trailers and demos and stuff, and it looks awesome. I mean, it's very traditional RPG, but
it's cool though, because it looks just like the game. I think that makes it really cool.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks just like the show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have been playing Kingdoms of Amalur: The Reckoning, and I gotta say that so far I'm underwhelmed, but I'm enjoying the combat because I like the weapons a lot. So I went from like daggers to swords, and like I just got a dual circular blades, like Xena Warrior Princess. So I'm just kicking ass right now. And you can got surrounded by spiders and just slice them all to mini pieces. So I'm gonna play it to the end. And then I'm gonna start playing Castlevania Lords of Shadow Ultimate Edition, just because that looks sweet to me.
Perfect. I started playing Thief this week, and I think it's gotten a little bit better now that I'm a little bit more into the game, but like the game has a lot of technical issues. I mean, I posted that video I posted on Facebook. I think I linked it to our Facebook group too. And it's like one of the guards, like the night watch guards in the game, is just like spinning uncontrollably in the middle of the screen, and like it didn't matter where, like what direction you went around him, he was like, he would see you there. It seems to have, I don't know, it's the gameplay's, I mean, the apart from those technical issues, the gameplay's pretty fluid, but the cutscenes were actually like really jerky and like, I don't know, it was weird. Like I've never seen a game have issues with that side of things. Usually that's like, you know, that's like the crowning moment of the game, and then the rest of it's garbage. But I don't know, it was just weird, because that's the only thing that really talks about, you know, that's the only part of the game that you get any storyline from, and I'm not really enthralled by the storyline. So like I think the completionist in me is really enjoys like going out and playing the levels and like stealing everything in the house, or, you know, you get jobs to steal certain items, but there's like, you can steal like basically everything that's, you know, in the place. And so I like stealing all that stuff, but I just like, I don't feel that like, I don't know. It just feels like I'm going out and stealing something for no reason, and it doesn't. I just don't feel that sense of a goal there. Mm.
which kind of detracts from the game. But I don't know. I'm hoping it picks up a little bit more, and hopefully the technical issues subside. I just got into an area where there's like this like a water wheel sort of thing, and it was like it was turning like a water wheel should not turn.
That's awful.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll keep everybody updated. I finished chapter 2, and there's 8 total chapters, so we'll see.
I wonder if it's any better on PC.
Yeah, I'd have to wonder. I mean, it's been the Thief has been in production. This game has been in production for quite a while, and I think it was originally supposed to come out for the last generation consoles, but then it got postponed, and then it like resurfaced as being as a game for next gen consoles. So there may have been some issues, just like porting it over, but
yeah,
and optimizing it.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, that brings us to the end of the podcast. So I have a couple people to thank up here. Let's see. Hold on. Thank you, Shonuff71, Robo Pig, The Man Who Games Zero, Kyle Levy, That Choffy, William 0406, and yeah, thank you guys for writing in. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles.
I too would like to thank The Man Who Games Zero, because now that I see that Ninja Gaiden Yaiba game, I am like freaking out about it in my mind. Because I see that it's coming out on Windows, so I'm going to be playing the crap out of it. No question. There's going to be at least one nosebleed.
Excellent. Double thank you to you. Your late night gamer points have just gone up.
Plus one.
So yeah, I'm just gonna say this has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 27. damn it. It's the episode 27, and it's getting late, so we're gonna say goodnight.
Night, night.
And I'm gonna
goodnight.
I'm gonna go to bed, but not really.
Night Gamers.
Steve.
Oh, sucks so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Charles.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting? Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess, as long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
I'm gonna say 3, 2, 1, everyone say their name.
Okay.
3, 2, 1,
Steve. Damn.
Alright, it's fine.
Alright.
No, I'm just gonna go straight in. I did not say anything. Fuck.
Alright, I'm just gonna do it again. 3, 2, 1,
Steve.
Okay, thanks. Bastard.
Yeah, it's like, there's no sound coming out of my voice.